They meet again. Yep, the combatants in Super Bowl 54 and Super Bowl 58 meet in the regular season in Week 7 in the Bay Area as the Kansas City Chiefs will travel to meet the San Francisco 49ers. It's also the start of the next leg of the season, if you will. And tying it in, the NFL's version of the Tour de France. The bike is back on the mountain trail. And it's all brought to you by Ticketmaster.
And to give it off to Worthy on the right side. Worthy sneaks into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City on an RPO handoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. This is Defending the Kingdom. This is the 49er version of Defending the Kingdom, and it is the Tour de France for the NFL. We have so many European Kingdom defenders. They're going to love this one. 21 stages in the Tour de France. It is, as you would say, for you Europeans, kilometers, 3,500 kilometers. Here in the States, it's 3,500 kilometers, which is, in essence, about 2,700 miles. When you bike the Tour de France, you are biking essentially from Reno, Nevada to New York City.
Oh, my God.
It is a grueling over 23 days, a brutal stretch, but it's like the National Football League season. In years past, Matt, we've always talked about quarters. I said when we went to 17 games, it felt like we were going to thirds. And this year for Kansas City really feels like that, with a five game, then a bye, seven games, then that Black Friday long weekend, and then five game push at the end. It feels like we're in the Tour de France and we're wearing the yellow jacket at 5-0.
And think about when it begins for us. And I have some more numbers we could talk about a bit later that really illustrate this, but for most teams, their season ends in early January, and they don't go back to it until late July. For us, consistently, and it's a great problem to have, but we've gone to middle to late February and then started back up in early to mid-July. Our off season is so much shorter than everyone else's. And that's why I think almost having the week six bye, as opposed to maybe later, isn't necessarily the bad thing it might be illustrated to be, because normally, yeah, you want to have the bye like in week 10 or 11 or 12, because that way you can really get ready for the home stretch. But if you think about this, the Chiefs, their last two off seasons have been 159 days exactly, which is kind of crazy. They've basically had the two shortest off seasons in NFL history. The Raiders, by comparison, no reason why I picked them, you know, they had an off season of 198 days. This past year. So that's almost a full extra month. So for the Chiefs, I think the bye actually came at the right time, because they've been going at it since early July. They had a chance to rest up and really attack the second third now of the season.
Well, you chronicle it well, because I was asked, like you, is this too early to have the bye? And I said, no, not for a team that has played 46 games in basically 2 1/4 years. That's an NFL record. When you add the 17th game, which the NFL did several years ago, and that 17th game is against a number one team the year prior in the NFC, hence this game coming up against San Francisco, it is a grueling pace. The other thing I would say, too, is the fact that this 5-7-5 split, again, the stages of the Tour de France, if you will, are very different than last year's schedule. We talked about, and Warren Sharp, who had, you know, so good at really analyzing the schedule, the Fox NFL writer, this year the Chiefs actually have a +5 rest advantage throughout the year. Last year was -4. And remember how grueling and bad December was, because five opponents had between 9 and 14 days to get ready for the Chiefs. Five consecutive weeks, and that was a 2-3 stretch for the Chiefs. This year, the Chiefs actually have a +5 net rest advantage. And yes, there's 3 games in a 10-day period coming up in December, but there's also 7 teams that have that, I believe, if not maybe 10 teams, the most in NFL history. So my point is, this is perfectly placed, I think, in looking at the stages of this 5-7-5 for a team, and you just laid it out, has had so much activity over a condensed period of time.
And what's kind of interesting as well is the Chiefs under Coach Reid and Patrick Mahomes are traditionally really good out of the gate, and they finish really strong. And the numbers all back that up. So obviously 5-0 this year, but generally we always start strong. I mean, we're 31-9 in September under Coach Reid, easily the best record in the NFL in that span. And Patrick Mahomes specifically is 19-4 in September. Then look at finishing strong. Mahomes is 39-9 in November and December games. The only month that has kind of relatively given the Chiefs some trouble over the years with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback is October. Now, I emphasize relatively because Mahomes is still 18-8 in October. That's the third best record for any team in the NFL in that span. But there's always been like a game or two in October over the years where it's like, that was weird. Like, how did that happen? And I think having the week six bye is kind of a good thing because I just think there's a matter of when you start really strong, maybe you wear down a little bit. And for the Chiefs, they had the bye now. They can attack October and then hopefully finish strong as well.
Okay. We usually travel around the world in our own space station, but we're going to take a bike this time and go bicycling around the world in our Tour de France yellow jacket. Not to be cocky, but 5-0. Okay.
We'll take that.
Two undefeated teams left, along with our Viking cousins from the north. But let's take the yellow jacket and go on the next leg of the Tour de France, and let's start by going biking around the world.
So I have 10 today, but because of our guest, I'm going to say I have 9 plus 1. How about that? Because we'll have Juju Smith-Schuster on in a little bit. So 9 plus 1. I heard from Todd, who wanted to shout out his wife, Mary. So this is cool. Mary is a U.S. diplomat currently serving in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. They're both from Kansas City, though. They never miss a game, even if that means games starting at midnight, 3 a.m., or 7:30 in the morning. So shout out to you both. Thank you for what you're doing for our country, and thanks for following the team. I met Boston at Brew at the Zoo over the weekend. So my wife works at the Kansas City Zoo and Aquarium. And
how'd that go, by the way?
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And it's such a role reversal because normally Ellie comes to all the Chiefs games and gets to tailgate and do all the fun stuff. And I mean, I'm not complaining, but like I have to get here hours beforehand and can't go out in the parking lot and all that. Well, it completely flips for the zoo events. She's working the entire time and I just get to go and have fun. So I had a great time at Brew at the Zoo, brought a bunch of Chiefs employees with me, and I met Boston and we talked some Chiefs football. So shout out to you, Boston. My parents were in Ireland last week and they ran into Mike from Nova Scotia.
In Ireland,
yeah. Sure. And Mike was wearing a Chiefs hoodie. And, of course, my parents, specifically my mom, had to go say hi. They're like, where did you get that hoodie? Are you a Chiefs fan? So shout out to you, Mike.
And there is a Chiefs. There's several Chiefs pubs around in Dublin.
They were trying to find one because they were there for the our last game against the Saints. They were there for that. And I think they ended up finding a pub. I don't know if it was a Chiefs-specific pub, but, yeah.
There's one that, yeah, my friend the Brick, who's the best ref in Kansas, he's gone there a couple times, but he's now become friends with this guy that runs the Dublin Chiefs pub.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we should go back then. How about that?
Let's go.
Shout out to Miel, I think is how you pronounce her name. She's from the Philippines and usually can only watch like clips of the games on YouTube, just doesn't have access to the full games when they're live. But she told me the reason she is a Chiefs fan is because of you and how you call games. She discovered you and how enthusiastic you were and said, I want to be a fan of that team. So that's pretty cool, huh?
She's into crazy dudes, then, I guess.
But hey, she's into it. So I thought that was pretty awesome. Shout out to you. We have a listener in Jamaica. Jeremy is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but originally from Hayes, Kansas.
Oh.
You know Hayes well.
Oh, yeah.
Jason,
was he a Hayes High Indian or TMP Monarch of the Plains?
I don't know. Need more information. Let us know, Jeremy.
Thanks.
Jason is from Versailles, Missouri. Not Versailles, right?
It's not Versailles. It's Versailles by the lake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Not Elden. Versailles.
No, it's Versailles, because people go, the Treaty of Versailles. No, it's Versailles.
So Jason's
well
from
done,
Versailles.
By the way.
Thank you. I've learned from the best. Jason mentioned that he is 4 years cancer-free. Congratulations, Jason. That is awesome. Daniel is from Columbia, Missouri. Ryan is in Council Bluffs, Iowa, and works as a custodian in Gretna, Nebraska,
yeah.
So other side of Omaha,
mm-hmm.
But listens to us while he's on the job. So shout out to you, Ryan.
And a shout out to those folks in that Gretna area. They had some brutal tornadoes.
Yeah, they did.
You remember in western Iowa and then eastern Nebraska, but Gretna, home of the Dragons, by the way, was right there in the crosshairs of those like three tornadoes at once. It was nuts.
That was draft weekend, wasn't it?
Draft weekend.
Yeah,
rough.
Very scary. Mm-hmm. Well, shout out to everyone in Gretna and to you, Ryan. And lastly, Gary is from Knoxville. So Gary has been corresponding with me quite a bit over the last several months. He's awesome, and I got to meet him in person for the first time at the Saints game. He traveled from Tennessee to come watch the Chiefs beat the Saints, met his daughter as well. Amazing, awesome people. So shout out to you, Gary, and go Vols.
And one of the highlights of the year so far in this first leg of the Tour de France, the five games, was Tennessee beating Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Not that that's a highlight for me personally, but it was for Trey Smith. And I saw Justin Reed in the hallway. He goes, hey, you need to go down and see Creed. Because Creed at Humphrey, obviously, Oklahoma Sooner, had all the Tennessee gear on.
Yeah.
He had to do it because of the bet. And by the time I got there, it was on the pile in front of his locker. I go, hey. He goes, I'm sick of wearing that stuff.
Yeah.
But Wanya Morris was wearing Tennessee stuff.
He played for both.
He played for both. Yeah. I said, this is hedging your bet. This is what people in agriculture do. They've got to hedge things to make sure. And so Wanya's just going, yeah, I'm like going to win either way. So I go, that's kind of cheating. But anyway, that was fun. You Knoxville types.
And Gary wanted to say hi to you as well.
Oh,
told
right.
me hi. And I do have some more fun stuff for you,
okay.
if you're ready for this. So
sure.
when we have the bye and I come into a game week, generally I'm doing all my game recap stuff on Monday and Tuesday, and there's no game to recap. So I just had some extra time on my hands. So shout out to Greg Tonge, who I share an office with. Greg was calculating his record as a Chiefs employee in terms of wins and losses, and I was like, I should do that. So I calculated my record. I only counted games I actually attended, so I didn't start traveling until 2021.
Okay, this is as an employee.
As an employee,
okay.
regular and postseason.
This is you in attendance at a game.
Yeah. So
as an employee.
As an employee.
Okay.
So for several years, I would cover the road games from here. I wouldn't actually travel. I would just kind of report on it from afar. I'm not counting those. Only counting games that I actually traveled to or was at, and not including the preseason either. This is just regular season and postseason. So I am 81-26.
Oof,
it's pretty
good,
right? Your
timing was really good.
Yeah, man. I'm 81-26. I've been here for 107 games that I've actually attended. Looking at the year-by-year breakdown,
so
it's kind
like
of hilarious.
So like Pat's in his second 100 games. You're in your second 100 games.
Yeah, yeah. Second lap for me.
Yeah.
But I'm 81-26 in my first 107. Now,
that's good.
Far more interesting than that is that I dug into your record. Are you aware of your current record?
I am not, but I'm
about to tell you.
Okay.
Okay, Mitch.
I appreciate you doing all this research, because it took a little longer to do this than your
It certainly
107
did. I have additional
notes. Which is why
on
you ask about the original game that I did, which was 3 years before I became the voice of the Chiefs.
I texted him yesterday because there's like no information on the internet about this. I knew that you did a game in 1991. A fill-in game for Harlan. I couldn't
right.
figure out which game it was.
It was the opening game.
It was very important to know if it was a win or a loss for this reason. If you include the 1991 game where the Chiefs beat the Falcons and Brett Favre, which is crazy. He didn't play, but still he was on the
yeah.
sideline.
I said the most intriguing guy in that game was the Falcons' backup quarterback.
Like, who is he talking about? It's Brett Favre. So you include the 1991 game where we won that game. And then everything since 1994, sans that one Packers game, which doesn't matter, we lost it, last year, you are 299-218. You are one away
this
from 300. Yes. You are one away from 300.
That's 299-218.
Cool. Yep. You are one win away.
This could be my 300th
win. 300 wins.
Wow.
So I got really fired up about it. I've been super excited about it for over a day now. Shout out to Greg. I told him this upstairs. If it wasn't for Greg looking up his record, I would have never gone down this path. But yeah, you are one win away from 300. And here's some more context for you. And it kind of plays into what you were saying about how fortunate I've been. So your 200th win, I'm pretty sure, was on October 30th, 2017. So you've made up.
I get 99 wins since then.
Since the middle of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of like our division titles, right?
Yep.
We always say, like, the Raiders have 15, the Chargers have 15, the Broncos have 15, we have 16. But we've won 8 in a row. There was a time it was 15, 15, 15, 8.
It's the same thing with your playoff record, right? Because I think you started like 1-10.
I was 1-10.
And now you're well over 500.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Coach. Yeah, because Pat's 15-3 is in addition to my 1-10.
Yeah.
So I'm 16-13.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Again.
Anyway, let's get you 300 this weekend,
Thanks
okay?
Thanks for looking that
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
wow.
I thought you'd like that.
I am so fired up. I was fired up anyway for the 49ers because of how we opened defending the kingdom. Now I'm really fired up for these guys. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
For your research. It's always the best. but part of some of those wins, and we're so fired up, too, to have this guy back. We had a chance to chat with Chiefs wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. We were so excited in late August when we got the word he's coming back. So, Chiefs Kingdom, welcome back officially here, Juju Smith-Schuster. It's late August. You get the notification and the call. But how much of an on-ramping is there for this game? This now feels like about the time you would have been in camp. So how much comfort do you have being around this offense now?
Very comfortable, man. Yeah, I think, you know, when I got the call, like, that was an exciting moment, being able to, you know, have an opportunity to come back here and, you know, play for this team and, you know, these guys. And for me, yeah, it's funny because I've been in camp here before and I know how the playbook looks. So it's like the first day I get here, there's like, boom. And it's like this thick playbook. And I was like, yeah, you just got to study some of this. But it's been pretty cool. The coaches have all been so helpful with being able to give me stuff here and there to focus on.
Does it feel like you ever left? Because McColl went through kind of a similar thing where he was here, he left, then he came back, and it almost feels like you never left, like you've been here the whole time. What's that whole experience been like, leaving and coming back?
It's been amazing, man. I think, you know, having an opportunity to go play for, you know, the Patriots and honestly one of the greatest coaches of all time, you know, it's pretty cool to see how playing for a defensive-minded coach versus playing for an offensive-minded coach like Andy Reid. So it's been really cool to see that. And my experience over there was great, but a lot of relationships with great people and stuff like that. But, you know, coming back here, right, it kind of felt like I never left just because I was so familiar with the offense, so familiar with everything around here. Because when you go to a new place, you kind of got to start from, like, ground zero. Like, okay, now I got to get a new barber. Now I got to get another person to wash my car. Like, these are, like, the little things that kind of adds up. But, yeah, coming back here just felt like I was a missing puzzle, you know.
We wanted – seeing you in that New England uniform, though, was just killing me. Like, we wanted to Photoshop, you know, and put you in red. But I've asked you this before, but I think it's a compelling question. You have perspective now of three different organizations. Great years you had in Pittsburgh. To be here, win a ring, then go to New England, now to come back. The culture here, how unique is it, and how could we take it for granted in the Chiefs Kingdom?
Yeah, man, it's there's no place like it, man. This culture is unbelievable. I mean, we talk about, you know, everyone being bought in, everyone being in one place, one mind, one goal, and that's here, man. And that goes from, you know, from the head coach all the way to the lowest man on the totem pole. Everyone know what we're trying to accomplish here. So, and that's the cool part is that being here, we're all just able to just focus on our job and just do your job because, you know, the person on the side of you is going to do their job. This person on this side is going to do their job. And when everyone is just bought into just doing the main job, the main goal, oh, my gosh, it makes everybody's job a lot easier.
Now, it's one thing to be back. It's another to go off for 7 catches and 130 yards. How good did that feel on Monday night?
It felt good. It felt good. Like I said, just to be out there with the boys.
You also have perspective of being in this league for 8 years. You were in Pat's class, right, the 2017 class.
Yeah.
But our theme in this one is the Tour de France, meaning that we've had these 5 games, a bye, now get ready for 7, then a long weekend. How have you trained your body to get through an NFL season?
Man, it's, you know, like you said, you know, 8 years into doing this, you know, there's nonstop growing. I always say be a sponge and, you know, things that I've learned from other guys that are, you know, in year 10, in year 11, year 12, you know, how they take care of their body is, you know, doing the little things, right? Those little exercises I do, you know, in between seasons or during the week. And then also, like, cupping, needling, massage, whatever that may be, whatever fixture criteria, cold tub, hot tub. There's so much stuff you can do to enhance your stuff. And everyone's different, right? For me, I love needles. Like, I'm right after this, I'm going to get some needles in my body just to help me perform for the next game, the next practice. So, and I think that's very important. A lot of people don't invest into their body. I think, you know, we talk about if you're a Ferrari, right, you're not going to put an 83 in your car. You're going to put that 91, 93 into your car. So it's what you get in is what you put out.
What do you think about the Niners just breaking them down on film? What kind of challenge will they be on Sunday?
Man, those guys are – it's a great defense, right? I think they're battling some injuries, you know, early on in their season. But now, you know, they're bringing guys back slowly. So they have a great defense. You know, I think the heart of that team is Fred Warner, right? He's a guy that's constantly making plays, you know, making turnovers and stuff like that. So for us, it's just – we have to go out there and just play a complete game. I don't think we've done that yet as an offense. I don't think we've – drove down to the field and just put touchdowns after touchdowns. Instead, we've kicked field goals, right? And I think that's where we're hurting ourselves. But at the same time, right, it's a great defense, man, we're going against.
I think it was almost exactly 2 years ago, this guy had a big game for us against the Niners in San Francisco. So let's just do that again.
Yeah, be great. Final question is, and you were kind of ahead of your time in this when you got into the league, but you're a social media phenom, right? What does it feel like to have as many social media followers as the population of most states?
I think it's pretty cool, man. I think I've been blessed on my platform to just, you know, my personality to show, you know, people out there. Just, it's not just football. It's not just sports alone. You have a lot of stuff going outside of you that you can, you know, pretty much show. And I think it's pretty cool that, you know, I'm able to do that here.
I'm one more. I lied. Faith and family is so important to you.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if fans appreciate that enough. Why is it so important to you, and how important is it to you?
I mean, it's very important, man. You know, without him above, none of this is possible to, you know, I'm able to do, you know, being able to play this beautiful game. And, you know, when we talk about faith, you talk about family, it kind of goes hand in hand, right? As much as you work on your faith, as much as you work on your family, as much as you work on, you know, the middle part, which is football, right? And it all plays hand in hand with this team. So we were just talking about it earlier, right? You know, when stuff hit the fan and it doesn't go your way, it's how strong is your faith into believing into this team, believing into this offense, this defense, and special team to get the job done in the next 30 minutes. And, you know, you guys seen fans that we've been down at halftime and have to come back out and play way better than we did the first half. So I think that faith just carries over, and it's very, very important for this team.
Now you all see and hear why it's so good to have him back. Biking hard in the Tour de France, which is the NFL, Juju Smith-Schuster. Really interesting to hear Juju's perspective on a lot of things, but including this Chiefs schedule of 2024. Here's some very interesting things, though, coming up about this Chiefs schedule. And then we're going to dive into the next leg of the Tour de France, which is a big hill called the San Francisco 49ers. And it's interesting, when you study the Tour de France, there's the different levels present different topography, right? You're going to have, this is the hilly stage, and this is the flat stage or downhill stage. Kind of feels uphill going against a really good San Francisco team. But I mentioned the 5-7-5. I mentioned the net rest advantage. I mentioned also an intriguing coming up after that last five is the Chiefs will have those three games in 10 days. That seems wicked, although this year 10 teams, one-third of the league, will have three games in 10 days.
Wow.
Thank you to Warren Sharp for that research. But here's what I wanted to add on. If the Chiefs could get the bye, if they can get the AFC bye, and I know I'm way ahead of myself, but we're looking ahead here in the Tour de France. If the Chiefs can get the bye, they will play one game in 24 days.
Wow.
So you play the Christmas game against Pittsburgh, and then after that, you have a week and a half before you play the Week 18 game at Denver, which, you know, if that's a Saturday or Sunday, doesn't matter. If you get the bye the following week, you will not play until the divisional game. So you will go from Christmas to the divisional game, which is the second full week of January, and that's a span of 24 days you would play one game.
My father-in-law, who lives in Denver, texted me asking what day the Broncos game was because he's trying to get tickets to the Avs game. Because the Avs play on Saturday. And I'm like, I don't know. But maybe get the tickets just in case. I'd love to go to the game if we're in town. But
He's going to take you to the Avs game.
Yeah, he's going to take me to the game.
Well, that's a whole different deal then, yeah. Sure.
So I hope we play on Sunday now. But regardless, I'm with you. That bye in the playoffs is enormous. And that's why beating the Ravens in the first week of the season was a big deal. Because, I mean, I think we all knew this going into the year, but the Ravens are going to be there toward the end, I think. They're playing really good football right now. And not only did we give them a loss, we also have the tiebreaker over them. So I know it's week 7. Really, there's no reason to be talking about tiebreakers right now. But still, that's a really big win in week 1 when you're talking about trying to get the bye.
And big games in that three games in 10 days. Mentioned Pittsburgh, but Houston will be here in that span. And there's just a lot in front of us here. But the bike is back pedaling again. And we pedal this time going to the West to take on the San Francisco 49ers. We'll close out just kind of looking out over this game. But I'm really kind of trying to figure out the 49ers, a super talented team. We know that. We just saw them in February in Las Vegas in Super Bowl 58. There's some things where on the report card, oh, my gosh, this is an honor roll team. The most points scored by any team in the NFL so far this season, offensive points scored. You look at big plays. No team has more 20-plus plays than these guys. 8 20-plus runs with these guys, mostly Jordan Mason with CMC out. And yet on the other side, you see all these injuries. They have 9 guys on IR, 7 prominent guys on IR, including some of their top players, and Christian McCaffrey is on that list. And Hufanga's on that list. So there's just a bunch of guys they're missing. But I'm trying to get a feel for San Francisco. I do know this. Their Thursday night a week ago win over Seattle was enormous for them. If they lose that game, they go 2-4. Because here's another interesting note. Brock Purdy had never lost prior to this year to a NFC West division rival as a starting quarterback. And they were 11-1 in 2 years against the NFC West. They started 0-2. Because they blew a 14-point lead to the Rams, and they blew a home 13-point lead against Arizona. The only two losses that Brock Purdy has had against the division is the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. So you can see my point. I'm seeing this and that and this and that and this and that. I'm trying to think, well, who are these guys really going into this game? I'm sure they're looking at Kansas City, probably asking the same thing. These teams are very different than even February in Super Bowl 58. But I'm really trying to get a handle on who the 49ers are.
Yeah, what's interesting is in a lot of ways, the 49ers are going to be the 49ers. I know they're off to a kind of a slow start, but it's still a team you have confidence in. But there are some things that are just kind of surprising. And you mentioned those blown leads to some divisional opponents in the Rams and the Cardinals. This kind of surprised me. So what's not surprising is they are plus 53 in terms of point differential in the first half of games this year. Second best in the league. That seems very 49er-like. But what was strange, they've been outscored by 21 points in the second half of games this year. Only Jacksonville, Tennessee, Las Vegas, New England, and Carolina, who all have one thing in common, they're not very good, have been worse than the Niners in the second half of games in terms of point differential. The Chiefs, meanwhile, are plus 31 in the second half of games this year. So they're putting teams away. It's fourth best in the NFL. One major issue with the 49ers when you look at the numbers is red zone. And I think that's kind of where they're feeling the loss of Christian McCaffrey. Because in a lot of ways, they've made up for not having CMC. You mentioned how good they've been offensively. They're averaging 6.53 yards per play. Only Baltimore has been better on a per-play basis. They're balanced. They're the number 2 passing offense in the NFL, number 3 rushing offense, and they have the most red zone drives of any team, a 27. So they really have no problem marching right down the field. When they get to the red zone, they have had some issues, though. They're only scoring touchdowns 44% of the time. That's 25th in the NFL. That is not San Francisco 49er football, because look at last year, they were easily the best team in the red zone in the NFL at a 70% clip, and Christian McCaffrey had 18 of those touchdowns in the red zone. So not having McCaffrey, I think, has hurt their productivity in the red zone. And goal to go this year, they have 14 goal to go drives, only scored 7 touchdowns. And it's not like they're turning the ball over and it's like fluky stuff. It's a lot of, you just get to third and goal, you don't score, kick a field goal. So that's really key for the Chiefs in this game. Keep that trend going for San Francisco in the red zone. And one thing that has to give is the Niners have racked up all these big plays like you were talking about. A lot of big plays this year. Well, the Chiefs have been very good defensively about not allowing big plays. The Chiefs have allowed the second fewest plays of 10 or more yards and 20 or more yards in the NFL. Meanwhile, San Francisco is at the very top offensively in both of those categories. Something has to give here in this game, and I have a feeling whoever is good in the red zone and whoever either denies the big plays or has the big plays will win this game.
And we know they're explosive. I mean, Ayuk's had a 140-yard gain. Juwan Jennings, who was great in the Super Bowl against us, had 175 yards in a game. That's tied for the most in the NFL this year. And then we know what Deebo Samuel can do, and he's had a 100-yard game. And yet, yards after catch to me is amazing. It's a stat that's built for the Shanahan offense, not only Kyle Shanahan but Mike Shanahan back in the day, and they need to stay on schedule. I don't say that as a criticism. I just say it as that's what they do. They need to follow schedule. But yards after catch, they're near the bottom of the league. They're 28th, and only 31% of their yards are yards after catch. This is Deebo Samuel's team. This is Ayuk's team, right? And CMC's part of that. But the Chiefs are number one in the league at 65% of the offensive yards are yak yards.
Super weird. So Brock Purdy right now is second in the NFL in passing yards, and 70% of it is just with his arm. It's really, really strange. That is unique in the NFL to have that kind of disparity. Normally, it's more half and half. But Purdy has been good with his arm, and just not a lot after the catch. And some things with him, his average depth of target is way up. It's like in the 10 range, and he's holding on to the football longer than anyone else. His average time to throw is 3.35 seconds, so could open up some opportunities, hopefully, for the pass rush. He's really lived in that intermediate area of the field, so think like 10 to 19 yards from the line of scrimmage. He has the most attempts, completions, and passing yards on throws in that range of any quarterback in the NFL right now, and by a wide margin. And a lot of that, the vast majority of it, is over the middle. So yeah, it's kind of football 101, but the middle of the field, about 15 yards from the line of scrimmage, right between the numbers, that's where Brock Purdy wants to live. And he's been doing a good job of it this year, but the Chiefs have to make sure they defend that area early and often on Sunday.
And I mentioned those guys, and then Kittle lives in that area too. So all of those guys that I mentioned, plus Kittle, becomes a potential weapon in that sweet spot, if you will, of Brock Purdy. Defensively, it's been perplexing. They're missing some dudes right on defense, and some key guys up front and in the back end. But when they blitz, they are next to last in the league. Quarterbacks, when the 49ers blitz, are 139. The quarterback rating is 139.7. That's astonishing when you think of what they've had defensively in years past. And they're 26th in total points allowed. So some of this is they've been thrown off schedule when those teams have rallied back on them. Some of it is defensively, they're trying to kind of figure things out with not only the injuries, but new personnel. They lost people in the offseason after Super Bowl 58. They fired Steve Wilks as a defensive coordinator literally hours after Super Bowl 58. So they're trying to figure a lot of things out defensively, but you're seeing that that's where maybe there's a lot of the mystery. And then special teams are all over the place. Okay, they gave up a 97-yard kickoff return to Seattle, but they blocked a field goal against Arizona and scored a touchdown. Oh, Minnesota blocked a punt on these guys. Oh, the punter, Wisnowski, had to kick a field goal because Moody's been hurt. Maybe he's going to be back this week. And you're going, it's kind of the way this whole team has been. So this is a very interesting game for the Chiefs to start the next leg of the Tour de France.
You see who their kicker is? It's Matthew Wright.
Right here.
Former Chief.
Yep.
I remember
I was watching the game with my dad, but I go, that former Chief, Matthew Wright, he wore 19, I think, when he was here, right?
I can't remember. That's a good question.
But kind of the baby face.
He was like 15 years old.
I shouldn't. Pat Mahomes saw him trying out, and he goes, hey, is that Matt Nagy's kid trying out to kick?
He was good for us.
By the way, a great high school quarterback for Blue Valley West, but still, he was good.
He was good for us. No, he helped stabilize when we didn't have Harrison.
Do you remember seeing him on the plane? Like, who's the 12-year-old kid on the plane? It's Matthew Wright.
Didn't he make like a 60-yard field goal?
Yeah, he did. And then
Butt broke it like the next week.
Yeah, Butt like, no, he can't have the record. It's like, Matthew Wright can't have the record.
So. Yeah, Chiefs legend.
I just see him munching on his Chick-fil-A sandwich. Like, is he 12 years old or 13?
Yeah, he came through for us. Yep. I'm with you on the defense, too, though. I got to know where Nick Bosa is. Bosa, once again, having a great year. 35 pressures, second most in the NFL. Just kind of strange, though. They've struggled in some areas normally they're very good in. Like, third down, they're 23rd in the NFL. Like, what? Red zone, they're 19th in the NFL, allowing touchdowns 56% of the time. And earlier we talked about some of those big leads that got away from them. They're right in the middle of that. So they have good players. We know these guys well, seen them a lot over the years, but not quite what you'd expect statistically from the 49ers so far this season defensively.
So apologies to you as we close, because we should be wearing the yellow jacket or the yellow top, and we should have Viking helmets on. So
missed opportunity.
Yeah, our budget's struggling with props. But anyway, for Matt and me, the rest of the Chiefs Kingdom, and all this Chiefs football team, obviously, we're back on the path, the second leg of the NFL's version of the Tour de France.